What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Ball Year Round Podcast. This is Andy Rashawn and Mike Days. We just want to make sure that we thank Pete Corrado for coming on and sharing his story, man. Like, it was honestly really informative, as well as, like, he really gave us an in-depth dive what it takes to be a reporter. And honestly, like, also being able to write your own book. It was a phenomenal story, and we really appreciate Pete. How you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, thanks again to Pete Corrado. He was a lot of fun to talk to. We had some fun with him. If you haven't checked out the last Sunday's podcast, definitely give it a listen. And check out his book, From Hang Time to Prime Time. Tonight, we have the NBA draft. And Andy, as always, we're looking forward to this. You know, I actually don't mind it when my team kind of sucks, because I kind of love the draft process and the lottery and all that good stuff in summer league. So I'm a little envious of your Bulls, but not really, because we went through that and that's how we got Jalen and Jason. What are you thinking for this draft tonight, big guy?
Man, you know what I'm hoping is, you know, that the Bulls are able to, you know, obviously we don't have a first round pick tonight, and that's a bit tough.
That's right. That's right. The Magic.
Magic.
Your new hometown Magic.
Magic have two first round picks. They have 5 and 8. So
yeah,
they're in a tough spot, I would say.
Yeah, it's a weird draft.
This draft is a little bit weird, man. Like, you saw it. It's real top heavy, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you get to about, you know, pick five, it's like pick five to, you know, 20 is like, dang.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
No guys in between. So, you know, it's a tough, you know, tough take to pick, but, you know, we'll see what guys do. And, you know, obviously teams like Oklahoma State and the Magic and even, you know, the Pistons at one have an opportunity to kind of make a move. So I'm very interested to kind of see how this draft plays out, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely going to be a fun one in terms of, you know, the beginning's pretty predictable, but then who knows what the hell is going to happen towards the middle of the lottery on. But it's also, it's kind of just like an alternate universe, like 2K auto gen draft. Like, you know, like if you're playing a league, you get the automatically generated kind of a draft class that the algorithm kind of bases off of, like, existing players. So you get weird guys that are kind of similar to what's going on in the league in real life. You got, like, Trey Mann, who's not really Trey Mann, but not at all, so not related to Trey Mann. You got Davion Mitchell, who's, you know, Donovan Mitchell kind of look alike in terms of out there on the court, in terms of build and style and what he's trying to do. You got Aaron Wiggins, no relation also with Donovan Mitchell, no relation with Aaron Wiggins for Andrew Wiggins, who's also a 6'6", bouncy wing. And then you have Franz Wagner, who's actually the brother. So it's kind of a weird draft that, like, has a bunch of names that are like, oh, wait, is he related? Is he? No, not at all. He's literally the same size. No, not related. So it's funny. But it'll be fun to watch.
No, definitely, man. I'm excited too to see kind of how some of these teams go, because, like, it seems that there are some actual general managers out there that have some different strategies than even us, you know, in the studios and everybody talking about it, you know, saying, like, what's going on. And they're like, man, well, we're really drafting and looking for the future. And that's what a lot of teams are doing right now. So you might go ahead and see teams making moves that don't really help them right now, but in the future are going to make some serious moves. And, you know, teams like, you know, the Detroit Pistons may do something like that because they believe in the players they have now. You know, if they were to trade out of the number one pick, Mike,
yeah,
you know, that shows that they really believe in what they have and that, you know, something down the line could really play out for them, you know.
But, yeah, I mean, would you prefer Shea over Cade in terms of plugging him in next to Jeremy Grant? I almost feel like even the right away returns, you almost want Cade there over Shea. But if it includes Lu Dort, does that tip the scale?
If it includes Lu Dort, and that's the only way I was like, yeah, I'd be in with it. If you include Lu Dort, I would do it, because now you have an opportunity truly to make a playoff push in the East. You know what I mean? You don't have to necessarily win the East, but if you can make a push,
yeah, you get fifth, sixth seed with that team.
Hey, man, you're going to do some stuff.
The Knicks were a sixth seed or whatever.
And they had an opportunity. They really did, you know. And it's just really about that in the NBA, man. If you can find that right, you know, piece, and you can also push and make sure that, you know, you guys are playing well at the end of the year, it's one of those type of things that it's like the Hawks, man. They're playing amazing at the end of the year. Is that team amazing? I don't know. Like, they were just – they played phenomenal. Trey hurt his foot. The team went sideways. Should that really happen to a team if you're really like that? I don't think so. In my
opinion. It happens.
But that team went from a twisted ankle to nothing to, like, they couldn't even hoop, and guys had no confidence. So,
yeah,
if that's how it is, man, like –
It's close. It's really – I mean, the East is – I mean, I want to say it's better than it's been in the last 10 years, but it's still, like, really the 5 through 12 are pretty close at this point, closer than they've been in a long time, because it used to be, like, a top 6-ish in the East and then everyone else, but it's kind of been up for grabs recently, or at least the last couple of years. But I feel like the Pistons could definitely slide into that if they – I mean, honestly, either way, with Cade or Jeremy, I'm kind of worried about that, to be honest.
It's hard to give up all that, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that you can watch Cade and see what he's done in the college level, and I heard, you know, somebody talking about how Oklahoma State wasn't creative enough for him, and you know, kind of giving him the right looks. But then when you really watch what Oklahoma State was doing – and the ball screens that he was getting, he's not getting as much as that he would get in the NBA. But, like,
yeah, that spacing is going to help him a lot too.
Yeah, I just think the spacing is just due to the court being small. But Oklahoma State did space a lot.
We see the inverse happening with NBA players right now with Team USA.
Yeah, I just think
that spacing.
Yeah, the spacing is, like, very relative. It's, like, based on what are you actually doing with your spacing. Like, when you watch NBA teams with their offense, like, they'll come off a ball screen, and then you'll watch one guy maybe make a cut from the slot or the wing, right? And you have that. And these other teams, you're watching Team USA right now, they don't have any players that are movers right now. They're all waiting and watching to get the ball. So I think that, you know, as he, you know, moves forward, if you can have Cade be on a team that actually is, you know, throwing, you know, like you said, the spacing, but also cutting for him, he's a great passer. And, you know, I think
right away. Yeah, I mean, just quick Team USA note. I was watching the 2012 gold medal game. If people haven't gone down that memory lane, it's a good one. It's on YouTube still in its entirety. And one of the key parts of the way that team beat the spacing issue is they just kind of played like the NBA three-point line was there, and they kind of spaced it out a little deep, and guys weren't guarding as much, but also they just fed the hot man and just kind of, you know, they gave that guy space and you know, let him operate, kind of thing. Like, if Kobe was hot, they're running with Kobe. If KD was hot, they're running with KD. Where I feel like this team isn't as much, like, everyone's trying to be the hot man.
Man, these guys are all so – they're so selfish, man. And it's just obvious, bro. Like, what you said already is that if Kobe's going, they give it to Kobe. If KD's going, they give it to him. And they're not worried about, you know, who's scoring, and they're not worried about who's getting all the shine. And I feel like these kids right here, they're all worried about that. They're all worried about, you know, who's going to play and whatnot. You know, I think that
– They're all younger too, and less accomplished in that team, I think, has a lot to do with it. They're all still kind of like trying to be the man of the Team USA. Like, Dame Lillard probably looks at it as, I could be that guy. Tatum looks at it. KD looks at it. Everyone looks at it. Levine, for sure.
This is about 2004 all over again, bro.
Yeah.
Here we go. We're about to take a trip down memory
lane. I mean, they just beat the shit out of Iran, but I mean, I don't know if that counts as much. I'm an NBA player in a minute.
Doesn't matter. All I know is that we can lose to anybody. These guys are liable to lose to anybody if they're not going to play together. And that's it.
Yeah.
And if they want to, you know, do it any other way, they may hate me for saying it, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, if you're not winning gold with USA, what is it anyway, Mike? Hey, man, you already know what it is. The is a failure anyway. We all know it.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. All I know is like, you don't want to be the first team to mess it up, bro.
Yeah. At least first team in 20 years. Yeah.
All pros, you guys have.
They got some shit when they messed it up last time.
You guys lost. You guys are losing exhibition games, man. And you're not playing as a team while you're losing it. So it doesn't matter. I don't care. Like, if we lose as a team and we lose to Nigeria, I'm fine with that. But yeah, we lost shooting 1-5 to Nigeria while you're watching dudes like Precious from Kentucky, who struggled at Kentucky to dunk and score, is dunking all over you. So at the end of the day, it is what it is. And I love him to death. Like, has he gotten better? Hell yeah. I love it.
Yeah. I was going to say, he hasn't been bad in the league at least. Oh, but man, I mean, he's one of those dudes where his game's probably more appreciated in the NBA than college lanes.
Listen, all I know is that in college basketball, you can stand in the lane. If you can stand in the lane, yeah, it's harder to score. And that's all it is, man. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that next Team USA game. They just beat Iran on the 28th. They're playing Saturday morning at 8 a.m. It just still says TBD, so I don't know. I don't know who we have next quite yet, but hopefully they keep it going with the W against Iran and see who they got next. Keep it going. But yeah, the draft. I got some funny combine notes. I was looking at some combine numbers, just trying to like find something. And speaking of brothers in this draft, there's the long lost brother McCurr Maker, Don's little brother that we actually got to see play back in 2014. So it's kind of weird that he's going to get drafted at this point. It's like 7 years since then. I'm trying to think, what was he like? He couldn't have been less than 13 or 14 then. We don't need to get into the age thing, but I thought this one, you know, out of everybody at the draft, he had, I think it was the second or third highest body fat percentage at 15%.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy. I don't know. He doesn't look it though. Like I saw him in a scrimmage. I was like, how the hell is he at 15% body fat? But he doesn't move very well. He's pretty slow. So I'm not too sure. I was pretty high on his brother Thon coming into the league, but that's proven to be a false hope. It was Raekwon Gray and Matt Hurt were the two guys with the slightly higher body fat. Matt Hurt, the scorer from Duke, who's still projected first round. So we'll have to see.
He is 6'8". But, I guess he'll have that, I guess.
For perspective, dude, the most dudes are in the 4-5%. So it's like, how are you coming into the NBA combine like 10% higher body fat percentage than your peers? That's incredible.
don't understand nutrition. On top of the fact that when I looked at some of the stuff that I just saw like on Twitter, like what UCLA gives their football players, a lot of it is just like, it's not healthy, man. Comes in a pack. So at the end of the day, you know, it may look good, it has vegetables or whatever, but I just don't think that this stuff is like actually really real food. I think it's all processed stuff. And yeah. Oh, go ahead, butter. Come at me for saying it, but you know, prove me wrong, I guess, you know. But when I saw that you know, the vegetables look very dehydrated, they don't look like, you know, something that you get out of a package and you slice up yourself and you know, actually meal prep it.
Yeah, I mean, any college cafeteria for the most part is trying to save their money.
These guys don't
know if no matter how much free food you get at a West Virginia, you know, cafeteria, it's probably not the best thing in town.
They definitely are shipping these meals down, like actually bringing these meals to their dorms. These guys aren't getting it, you know. They're getting it delivered, man. All this stuff is.
Yeah, imagine if they.
It is all delivered. It's not like they're going to the cafeteria and having to eat food, man. These guys are getting their stuff delivered to their dorms since COVID happened, and all of it is.
Oh.
All of it is nonsense, man. And they're eating it, and at the end of the day, they're like, "Oh, this is great," but I'm like, "Ah, man." I looked at it, and I just wasn't a fan. I just wouldn't, like, if I was like a real athlete, I'd be like, yo, bro, nah, just because you're feeding me does not mean that the food is like actually legitimately like that great.
It's not, it's kind of overrated. They'd almost be better off getting like a Grubhub stipend or something. But then, you know,
Grubhub stipend, like, what is
I know what I would have ordered if I had a Grubhub stipend in college, and it wouldn't have been the right thing to eat.
why are they not getting, like, why are they not just buying food from your local butcher, and why is not somebody cooking it, man? Why is that not happening?
Yeah, no, it's I mean, you would think they'd be able to hook something up with, like, the ag department or something, like, and, like, you know, the same cows that they're working on over there, and chickens and shit. It's like, oh, I'll just use that. Something. But yeah, so we got the Rockets second pick. We're thinking Jalen Green. Obviously, everyone's thinking Jalen Green is kind of the consensus at this point. The last few days here, it seems like Evan Mobley's officially been slid down to third. I know you got some takes on Jalen, Mr. G League Green.
Yeah, I think he's a great player, man. I really do. I think he's very athletic, obviously, but he also can shoot the ball. You know,
he's got a nice shot.
Scored at a high clip, and he's in the G League. I think that people are forgetting the fact that he played pro and he was not in college. So, you know, if you can do that at the pro level right away and, you know, average 19 points a game, then you're definitely a big time player. So I think that a number two overall pick for him is, you know, legitimate. I just think that, you know, as far as he goes, he's going to have to keep developing at a high rate, you know, so that he can hit tough shots, that he, you know, he's physically.
Yeah. I think, I think what you said, like hitting tough shots, I think that's one of the things that, you know, out of all the factors you're looking at, like, he might be the best guy in terms of hitting the shot off the dribble kind of thing. Maybe Jalen Suggs. I love Jalen Suggs in that respect. I think that's why he's going top five, because he has that kind of Fred VanVleet, you know, I don't want to say the name Steph Curry, but, you know, that deep shot, deep three guy kind of potential in the future in the NBA. Jalen Green kind of fits that mold too, that off the dribble pull up artist. But that's the upside, you know.
Definitely.
Could be Malik Monk.
Could be Malik Monk. And that's that's another thing. And Malik Monk ain't a bad player, good player. But it's
no, but he didn't say your pick. Like fifth, right?
Yeah, Malik Monk was a high pick.
Third. Yeah.
So it's kind of we're gonna see what happens, you know, as they move forward with this, man. But like,
yeah, I like him in Houston, though, having the chance to just have the reins.
I do. I think that that's a good system for him, that where he kind of will be able to be allowed to be himself and excel, and kind of take a bit of a chance without having the repercussion of, well, if we don't win, then maybe I'm not gonna be, you know, around, or people are gonna want me for the next, you know, couple of years. So I think that he has an opportunity to kind of feel it out and find himself a bit in the NBA.
For definitely low pressure down there. Not exactly a winning situation at the moment. He'll be able to just handle the ball a lot. So then Cleveland's got the third pick. Evan Mobley is kind of the consensus there. I'm not like, you know, Evan Mobley is kind of – I'm high on him, but, like, I still am just like, he's not Joel Embiid, like, in terms of that kind of size – big man, but he's like that new age hybrid kind of big guy who can move a little bit, but he's still kind of just a big guy. He doesn't quite have that skill to shoot it and shoot a pull-up kind of thing as much, but we'll see if he develops that jumper kind of thing.
Definitely. I think he's a potential guy, and I think that he's, you know, based on his ability to, you know, to move and guard, I think is what, you know, makes him somebody that people want. Because they're having trouble switching all these.
Yeah, things. Hopefully he buys in.
And
defensively, that's Cleveland.
He does that, and also
him and Jarrett would be crazy, man.
Be that good, you know? Because like, at the end of the day, the kid from Michigan State that got drafted number two to the Grizzlies. What's different about those two?
Jaren Jackson and him, yeah, I totally see what you're saying there.
They're the same player, and they're both defensive-minded. They're not really looking to score the basket like that. And so I think you can get them guys like – I think like a Jared Butler honestly should be drafted top 10 because of his ability to score the basketball and manage a team.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of ran the offense at times through Mobley at Texas, but he doesn't have quite the skill set to do that at the NBA level, and he won't have the size and speed at every step of the way advantage that he had, you know, in the Big 12 this year. There's a 7-footer that can freaking move.
Mobley was at USC.
USC. Oh, Jesus Christ. Why do I keep thinking Texas?
That's Kay Jones kid or Kai Jones.
Sorry. Either way, Pac 12. Not exactly better in terms of big guys down there.
All I know is I'm just not sold on him, man. I don't think that he's a top five player. I think that I think honestly, if I were him, I would Magic should take him at eight. I think he should be an eighth overall. I'm telling you, man. I just think that he's a good defender. He's
that's rough.
I know, but it's at the end of the day, you have drafted players that are better than his projection right now. Later in the draft, you have to take better players. Stop taking potential. Take a player.
Yeah, it's tough to take a guy whose greatest potential is defense, and he didn't really play like, you know, he didn't buy in on defense the whole time in college, and he's going to be in Cleveland where they're going to suck.
Bro, yeah. You realize that the Magic have Mo Bamba and Jonathan Isaac, both projects, both have been hurt and have done nothing.
Yeah, Cleveland has a similar drafting track record.
Oh, look at the guys after Sexton and them. Oriaku. Well, look at those guys. Look at the
players. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The players after that went like 5-7. They stink. You guys have no idea how to draft, bro. Like, and then you have guys like going 27, killing. I don't want to hear anything about fit. I'm tired of fit. These guys are better players.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Cleveland's probably going to take Evan Mobley, and everyone's projecting that is because they have the guards already. They don't want to take Jalen Suggs and crowd up the guard backcourt already than it is. They already have Colin Sexton trying to get out because Garland and Sexton are having to share the ball and the spotlight in the guard backcourt. But Suggs would be better than both of them. I would take Suggs right now and trade both their asses. Like, yeah, you get the third pick.
They've been talking about trading Sexton, bro. Like, they've been talking about Sexton leaving because it's just like at the end of the day. Sexton is about Colin, man. He's about himself. And they need somebody that's going to lead the crew and is going to be able to maximize the talent that they actually have. And they have some players around there. And this is the East. It's not the West. It's not a star-studded league. You need to make the playoffs in the East to keep your stuff going. And if you keep making the playoffs, you're going to have that opportunity to draft.
Yeah, you're going to get that random free agent.
Yeah, man, you got
the Nets
that want to be there. And then you also have that opportunity to actually draft real players because real players go in the middle of this draft. All these top-end guys, you got once every 5 years, one explodes.
Yeah.
You know, but in the middle.
Yeah, and usually you can see it. Like, Cade Cunningham's probably a lock for 20 points a game, 5 points – or 5 assists, 5 rebounds kind of thing his first year potentially.
We'll see. We'll see, man. Like, the top five is such a weird place to be. But, like, in the middle, all I see is every time in the middle, every team has had success that has been in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, you see the same teams kind of repeat their successes, whether it was San Antonio back in the day or Denver cooking right now in terms of picking those guys. But then the fourth pick, Suggs, speaking of just more chalk before the middle gets crazy, like everyone's kind of thinking this is the top four, you know, Cade, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, and then Suggs fourth to Toronto. As a fan of a team that wants to contend in the East, I fucking hate Jalen Suggs to Toronto. That is terrifying. Oh my god, like that's the last thing I wanted to see happen in this draft. Like when that came out of the lottery, I was like, oh shit, that's not good. Like that's not what we want. Like
no, I would love for him not to, but
you see Brandon Roy in Suggs at all?
You know, honestly, I see like this weird hybrid of that. You know, I see a Brandon
Roy,
a scorer type, but I also see a guy that is really able to like distribute and lead a team, like, and actually like handle the ball. Like, I think he can do both roles. I think he can play the one or the two. You know, I think he's like a Klay Thompson hybrid more so. Like, I think he's like kind of a combination of Steph and Klay where he can shoot it and handle it, but he's also like a for real, like, true leader and distributor of the ball. You know, I think he can do it either way, but like what we saw with the tournament, man, he can really shoot the basketball catch and shoot off the bounce. And then he can really set guys up. So I think he's kind of got like a mixture of both of those guys. That's my opinion of him. I think he's a stud. I'd love to take him number one if I could, man. Like any other draft, he's the number one pick in my opinion.
Yeah, he's got some crazy comps I've seen so far, Jason Kidd and Brandon Roy. But it'll be interesting to see. I could totally see him developing into kind of a just an off-the-dribble three-point bomber, kind of like a better – or not a better version of Fred VanVleet, but a bigger version of Fred VanVleet, which ends up, you know, taking more shots eventually for Toronto. But that'll be interesting to see how they play those two together or separately, or, you know, if they're bringing Suggs off the bench to start, if he's starting right away next to him, you know, OG sliding to the bench or something. Because they got a team that kind of underperformed all year this year, but they have some pieces that just kind of are a couple pieces away, like you saw with Kawhi obviously coming there. But they're going to lose Lowry. So, I mean, or at least they're probably going to lose Lowry. So they'll need that point guard kind of fill in situation. So it's kind of fortuitous for Suggs to follow them and keep them afloat when it looked like for a second there that Kawhi was kind of the end of their run, or well, a quick beginning and end of their run. But this is when it gets interesting. Pick 5 through, you know, 18, 25-ish, somewhere in there. There's a whole lot of dudes that could end up being as good as the top 5 guys or top 4 guys that we just talked about. But there's also, you know, quite a few dudes that are going to end up on a team and flame out pretty hard. I think there's a lot of upside and downside for some of these guys. It's there's a specifically a collection of a few that this mock that we're looking at, the CBS Sports mock draft from last night, Wednesday night, says 5th Scotty Barnes, which I can't imagine taking a guy who doesn't really shoot the ball, kind of like a poor man's Ben Simmons and some of what I watched, not quite the passer at all, not the athlete. He's a little like not as athletic as you would think when you watch him play. Like he's got the 7 foot plus wingspan, so he looks a little more athletic than he is at times getting around. He's good, but what do you see in Scotty there? Because it's Scotty Barnes, Jalen Johnson, and Zaire Williams I'm looking at as kind of three guys that have a lot of similarities and are almost interchangeable in terms of who's going to be the best out of that 6'9 wing, versatile wing group.
I think Scotty Barnes is a winner. You know, every level that he's been at, he's won at. You know, when he was at a regular high school here in, you know, Florida, he was able to go ahead and win a state title. After that, you know, let me go ahead and test my skills over at Mount Vernon, went over there, won a national title. He's a winner, bro. And at the end of the day, people can talk about whatever. But dude's a winner, and then he goes to Florida State. You know, they do some things over there, make some noise, have some of the best players. And now he's like a top 5 pick, and he doesn't shoot it well, but like, well, damn, the guy wins. And then I look at guys like Draymond Green, and I'm like, this is a bigger Draymond Green.
He might be a more mobile Draymond. He's a better ball handler, I think, than Draymond too. Draymond gets away with a lot of sloppy ball handling, where this kid can put it on the floor a little bit. I don't know if he quite has the vision, but he's definitely a willing and able passer. He's not quite as like Draymond's pinpoint, but he's a little.
Draymond has been a guy that nobody thought was a real player anyway. The fact that he has a lot more space and he can, you know, throw the ball and slang it around a little bit with guys that can shoot it, now he looks like a real passer. At Michigan State, he was doing the same thing, throwing the ball around, and guys were missing, so it didn't matter. So now I think it's
he didn't have a jumper either coming in.
Didn't, and he didn't need it. You know, he's a post player at Michigan State at 6'5", playing in the Big Ten. That's big time stuff, man. The Big Ten, everybody's 6'10". So you know, I can't wait to see what Scotty Barnes does, man. I think he's a real winner, and that's why I like him better than Kuminga. I just think he's a winner, and I think you need him. And down the line, he's going to make other players around you better, because you have to focus on a 6'9 person with the ball. You have to. And if you don't, then he's going to go mess you up. So I think the other Magic players need to step up if they get him at 5. Really do.
Yeah, he played some point at FSU, which is interesting. You know, 6'9" by 7'2", with a little bit of speed, not like Ben Simmons' athleticism, but some athleticism. And, you know, playing the point guard in college was scary. And defensively, I think is, you know, where he's really going to stand out and potentially, you know, make his hay in the NBA. He guarded, you know, really, really well in college, like all positions, because he's got that length and that strength. Like, he's a strong 6'9". You know, similar to Draymond in that he's got a big frame. He's going to fill out even more too. But his lateral, I would say he's more of a fluid lateral quickness mover on defense than he is on offense, almost, like, which is kind of rare. Like, I feel like most dudes are more shifty, like left to right with the ball in their hands. Then you make them play defense, they don't, you know, they don't quite have that spring left to right as much, but he's like the opposite. Like, he seems to really like bother the shit out of his fast little guards just by,
you know, who he played for. He played for Leonard Hamilton, and if you go to Florida State, you can't not play defense. So that's a major thing there. And that's why over the years, Trey Mann, you see him having success with the Clippers. You have a lot of players coming out of Florida State recently that are having success in the NBA because he does such a great job teaching defense and like the motor part. And then, you know, they're always going to play hard. So, you know, they're going to have some success. So that, I love to see that with Florida State, man, you know, especially being down here in Florida. Like, I love that. You know, that these guys play hard. But, you know, you really see Scotty Barnes, you know, he could have played anywhere in the country. He went there. You know, and he, like I said, if you really look back on Scotty Barnes and you watch him really hoop, you're like, dang, bro, we forgot that he was the number two player this whole time. He's been the best player in the class. He can really hoop. And he's been doing it, though, like regular high school, major big-time prep, you know, in college, you know, making a run with their team, and then now, you know, being a top five pick. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I could see that being big time. He, his jumper's not too bad either. Like, it's a work in process. Not as bad as I would say, like, Jalen Johnson's pull up is at the moment. But it's still absolutely like, you know, work in progress kind of thing. Like, he's probably going to switch it up a little bit, make it a little more fluid, but he doesn't quite have the off the dribble pull like Zaire does, but it's not quite as bad as Jalen. But yeah, so the next dude on the list that they're projecting is Book Knight, who is also kind of in that swing. He's a little bit more of a two guard, pure two guard kind of respect in terms of a prototype jump shooter. I love him. I think he's going to be he can be potentially really good.
Yeah, I think he's an all star type player, man. I watched him at UConn, and they had that, like, kind of a two-guard, you know, two-headed guard that kind of went at you. You know, it switched off. But, like, the shots that he was able to hit off the bounce, whether it was a three or a two.
Yeah, he's an off-the-dribble shooter big time. Crazy body control.
Perfect NBA-style game. Just like the kid from LSU, like, he's got a shot. Like, he's going to be a big-time player. But yeah, no, Book Knight is tough, man. And that's why I think that, you know, I don't know why they don't see it. OKC is seeing it. People are talking about him now, finally, but he's 6'5" legitimately. And, he can really shoot the ball from like 25 feet. So
and he's a good slasher too. Like, he's not just a shooter. Like, he can put it on the floor a little bit, but he's a good cutter. He's confident around the rim and has some nifty kind of English moves, finishes and shit. He also kind of has, like, he's a Brooklyn kid. So, like, he's kind of got that, like, stereotypical New York kind of, point guard kind of, attitude with scoring the ball, which you love to have, in your score. He had some moments in the tournaments where he would, you know, he was their main scorer, where he just kind of took over, and you kind of see that kind of, you know, that swagger about him, and he was kind of taking over and feeling the moment and not afraid of it and looking into the camera and shit. And it's like, sometimes at the next level, like, all these dudes are nasty, all these dudes can shoot, but, like, can they shoot when all the fucking pressure's on them? Do they want to shoot when all the pressure's on them? Like, kind of thing. Like, a guy like, I mean, like, not a comparable player, but just, like, for example, like, Abdel Nader wasn't as bad as basketball as he looked like in the NBA. But he was kind of just, like, didn't look comfortable, didn't feel comfortable, at least, you know, outside looking in kind of thing. Like, never really had that kind of swagger on the court at any moment. Obviously, I'm talking about in Boston, he actually did look a lot better in Oklahoma City when he came back to town. He played a lot more effectively, but he was playing with confidence, and that's kind of sometimes that's half the battle when you're everyone's that good. Like, it's whether you think you can be that good amongst the that good. And Book Knight certainly doesn't lack any of that. But he'll be interesting. OKC is kind of a nice fit.
Oh, I like that.
With Shai Gilgeous, Louis.
Did they say for the number 7 pick, man? That was a very interesting thing that I saw. You know, I'm kind of surprised by it, you know? Like, the Jonathan Kuminga at 7, like, that's kind of a project.
Yeah, he's been too high for the whole process.
I don't know, man. I'm just not sold on it. I think he's like a 4-man. I think he's like
– Yeah, it's like Golden State pick at 7. So, I feel like all these projections are people betting on Golden State betting along, but mm-hmm. – I feel like if they're going to do that, they're just going to fucking trade it. They're not going to bet long on the 7th pick with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. They're just going to trade the 7th pick and get someone who can actually impact like that. I don't know. So I don't see him going. I could see him slipping big time. I could see him being the kind of top 10 bust if he goes that high too.
Somebody's going to make a big mistake and jobs are going to be lost for that. And then there's a guy that I think that we've both been talking about, and I know you've been super high on, and you've made me go on Synergy, and you've made me, like, do all my deep dive on Josh Giddey. I think that he is a stud, man. Like, I think you have on. You are spot on with that. Can you, like, what can you say about him that you, like, that you would say is, like, a – you know, kind of a weakness for him? What is something you could find? Like, I've been trying to find a weakness.
I mean, defensively might be the first start. He's not like terribly great moving laterally yet, because he is pretty young still. He's like 18. Mm-hmm. The jumpers, everyone thinks most people are saying the jumper's a weakness. His like actual, like the form and release. And like, I watched a full game and a bit of highlight tape on him. You know, I didn't sit there and sit through 7 Australian games. But, like, in terms of him choosing his shots, he's not, like, a guy that's, like, you know, like, he's kind of more in the Marcus Smart meld where he has the form. It's not, like, terrible. And he has the confidence to at least shoot it. And he has also the shot selection to, you know, not take, you know, everything, but also not shoot it when he, you know, should. You know, take the open jumper in terms of gravity for the offense and stuff. But so I think someday he'll be there. But I don't know, man. He's huge. He's got so much like kind of a shifty, you know, point guardy kind of unteachable stuff to his game that I like. Timing stuff, passing stuff. But it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Like the 7th, you know, Kuminga, like you're saying here, like I don't know if he's a great fit with the Warriors. It would be kind of funny to see him run around with like Clay and Steph and just be like, hey, do that run around passy thing that you do, which, you know, he does kind of have like a little bit of a sloppy handle. So that's another thing too, that like, so for example, like a guy like Scottie Barnes, I'm a little more confident in him being able to do exactly what he did in the NCAA dribbling wise and like ball handling wise than I am Josh Giddey. Just because Barnes is more conservative with his handle, more controlled, consistently controlled, and just like, you know what I mean? Like, and Giddey's kind of a little more loosey-goosey and all over the place with his handle sometimes, which might not be able to get away with in the NBA, but he'll learn quick. He'll have 7 turnovers in one of his first 5 games, for sure. The kid's wild with it, too. He throws it everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Nah, but that sometimes is what is needed, you know? You need to kind of learn the flow of the game and, you know, what's going to be there. So I think that'll be a great learning experience for any player, you know.
Yeah, I think he'd be a great fit at either 7 or 8 or, you know, the Magic next year at 8.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and I was looking at a couple other picks, you know, like we don't have to talk about everybody, but, you know, I've been looking at a couple that I've been, you know, man, I'm really interested to see how these guys move forward. And, you know, a guy that I was looking at, you know, further down the line that is, I don't know how he dropped this far, man. But a guy like Cam Thomas, like, you know, he's at 20 with the Hawks, you know, from LSU, averaged 23 points a game, you know, was a top scorer in the SEC. You know, how does a guy like that, how is he not going to succeed with more space? Like, why do they see him at 20? What do you think about him, Mike?
I honestly didn't watch enough Cam Thomas. I think the jumper looks nice. You know, I didn't catch a ton of LSU games this year. But he, you know, he kind of has that spark plug off the bench prototype kind of style of play and build and stuff as that, like, combo guard that can handle, but also, you know, it's more of just there to get his shots up kind of thing. Not exactly looking to pass the ball a ton. Yeah, no, I could see him doing well. You like him with Atlanta where they got him projected here at 20. I mean, it's kind of off the bench kind of potential there.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like it just because, you know, Atlanta with Lou Williams, you know, keeping Lou is going to be a bit tough.
Old man Lou.
Yeah, you know, I think Lou may need to move on to be, like, with a true championship almost contender. I really do. I think he should move. You know, I think a spot for him would be great is, like, an L.A. You know, even, like, truthfully, man, like a Bucks team that's going to lose some players, I think, like, going to the Bucks might help, you know, because they want to stay and be in that title contention.
Lou on the Bucks would be nice.
Be tough, right? You know, and that's why I think a Cam would be – you know, a great draft pick for the Hawks just because you're losing a Lou Williams potentially. And, you know, Cam is a heater off the bench. He can come in right away in the league and give you, you know, 12 points a game off the bench, you know. And that's something that'd be great, I think, for the Hawks, you know, because they are going to sign John Collins. That's what it's looking like. And, you know, it's going to cost them a lot of money. And, you know, you're going to need to be able to sign some players that, you know, can do something for you, but aren't going to cost as much as a Lou Williams type, you know. And that's just, you know, kind of my thought on it. But, you know, kind of moving down the board a little bit, Mike, are there any players that you would say that you like in this, you know, 20 to 30 pick that are, you know, some tough players that you think are going to make an impact coming forward?
There's a couple. I mean, I think Bassey is still projected in there. He might be a little later on most boards at this point. I love, you know, I've talked about him a lot. I love his, potential as a big guy. He's been around for a few years now. Bones Highland is nice. Dosunmu is a guy that I watched a bit of and I wasn't like blown away with him. That kid AO from Illinois. Did you watch him this year with Illinois at all?
Yeah, I did watch him.
What'd you think of him? Because I watched a couple games of him this week, and I was like, there's a reason he's slipping.
I like the fact that he has that ability to hit a big shot. I like that he's not scared. You know, but the biggest thing with him is, like, what position are you? Are you a two or are you a one? I think that's the biggest thing with him. And just based on how he – his assist numbers and, you know, how he kind of distributes the ball. At Illinois, he was a ball handler, and he's kind of like your prototypical point guard right now in the NBA, where his assists come off of, well, heck, I can't score, so I'm going to kick it or I'm going to pitch it or whatever. He wasn't really, you know, looking to distribute a lot. You know, he wasn't like pushing tempo and kicking it up ahead like that. He's, you know, he's not that type of player. He's more of a scorer. So I think that is why he has dropped so far. And Illinois also lost to Loyola. I think that's another reason why, you know, he's fallen a little bit and they haven't given him a chance to, you know, really, we didn't get to see him in the Final Four. And if we did, I think he would probably be top 10. You know, so I think that they're kind of, you know, I don't think they're doing the best job of scouting and really, you know, projecting people right now. I think the kid is definitely a top, you know, 10 to 15 player in this draft class. But right now, you know, based on him winning and his ability to, is he a point guard or are you a two guard? You know, not winning has made everybody question you. So that's why,
I mean,
go win and you don't have to have questions, man. Go win and you don't, nobody questions.
Yeah, I mean, he's really fast. Yeah, that's one of the best things I can say about him is he is really fast. that's one of the things that jumped off the screen kind of with him. But that's kind of – what up?
He's 6'5", like 6'5", and really that
fast. Yeah, he's 6'5", and fast as hell. but his jumper's kind of whack, and it doesn't look like a great mechanical kind of starting point. It's kind of surprising he shot 38%. Like, he shot a good percent.
And he averaged 20 a game. I just think that's like a
– Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying more on so, like, he averaged 38% three-point this year. He averaged 29% the year prior. And, like, you know, I didn't watch all his three-point shots this year. But that three-point percentage doesn't necessarily translate to NBA because that's 38% on mid-range NBA jumper, you know. And it's just that, I don't know. I wasn't too sold on the jump shot, but he's got a great kind of attack the lane game. But we'll see what he does kind of at the next level there. I love Zaire. He's projected 23rd to the Rockets, which would be funny if the Rockets can come out of this with two of the top guys out of a draft or out of a high school class. Zaire was way up there. Zaire's kind of got off the dribble jumper game a little bit at 6'9", you know, a light 190. He can make some pull-ups. He loves the elbow. And he's another one of those dudes that's kind of like high upside, you know, but might not develop to much of anything. Kind of, I feel like Zaire, Scotty's got the lowest kind of or the highest floor in terms of that trio of Zaire, Scotty, and Jalen with the big wings that can move the ball or dribble it a bit. But I feel like Zaire's kind of got maybe the lowest floor just because he doesn't quite have it defensively. We'll see if he fills out. He's a little bit frail. But he's got a frame, so he could put on the muscle and end up being a defensive prospect. But he shot pretty poorly from three, but he's shown a crazy pull-up game for 6'9".
I think
he's got that 40-inch vert at 6'9". Hey, he was off the charts with combine stuff too.
Yeah, nah, like, he's a good player. And so I'm definitely, like, interested to see what he does moving forward. I haven't watched enough film on him, you know, and that's why I had more on IO, just because, like, I've seen him play more. But everybody else, you know, I'm looking forward to see. I'm excited about Trey, man, you know, and him moving forward. I think that he fell a little bit, but I think that he's a player that, you know, is going to be big for, you know, any NBA team, especially the, you know, the Suns. If, you know, Chris Paul ends up leaving, I think that Trey Mann can slide right in there at 6'5", and his game is way better for the NBA anyway, you know, so I'm excited about that. And, you know, Mike, you know, I know we're both West Virginia alumni, and I'm looking at this chart right here, and I'm looking at Miles Bridge at
McBride
at the number 31 pick.
Yeah, first pick, second round projection. Yeah, he's been sliding. I want to say he was like late lottery almost at one point in this draft process, and I mean, a little undersized. I don't trust West Virginia pros for the most part. No offense to West Virginia. I love them, but it's never really panned out. So until someone comes in there and proves the trend wrong. I mean, I hope he does well. I think he's got a nice pull up, but he's a little small for kind of his game translating to NBA. Cause he's not like crazy quick, you know, like all those dudes that succeed at 6'2" with that game, they're crazy quick.
Yep.
But we'll see. I mean, that second round, you know, whatever with the second round pick kind of thing, it'd be a good kind of roll the dice. Looks like Bucks there. somehow the first pick of the second round.
Heck yeah, man. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan, but Miles McBride, dude. Had to talk about him because he's a West Virginia guy. You know, always have to, you know, chat about West Virginia. And I hope that, you know, he's able to make some shots and, you know, turn into the point guard that they think that he could be.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah, I mean.
He's a few players, so I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, people talk a lot about him as a defensive player, which, I mean, I could see. It's just, you know, you're going to have to be real real tough defensively. He's got some big wings, but you're going to have to be real tough defensively to be, like, a standout, like Pat Williams, you know, or Jesus Christ, Pat Williams, Pat Beverly. You know, like, he's the rare, like, 6'2 and under really pest of a point guard defender. Like, they're usually the Drew Holidays, Marcus Smart, Gary Payton. Like, that's a 6'4 and up kind of distinction in terms of being a great defensive point guard. But we'll see. I mean, like you said, always got to check out if West Virginia kid's getting drafted. Thankfully, low expectations with his second round projection now. We've had some tough high picks in the last 10 years, football and basketball, where it's like, oh, shit, they took him a little high. I don't know if I would have done that, and I love him. but yeah, what do you think of Jalen Johnson, the kid at out of Duke that's kind of projected all over the place here too? With
Yeah, the Pacers right now is what I saw. Yeah, man, I don't I like him, but it's weird because you know, he kind of wasn't, like, I don't want to say he quit on his team, because
shades of Ben Simmons, no?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it's like kind of like, you know, if you're projected a high pick, why would you, you know, kind of waste the fact that you could potentially get hurt or, you know, ruin your draft stock by playing? And
what, did he not play NIT? Because they didn't make the NCAAs, right?
No, he didn't play anything. He quit, like, before he stopped
playing. Oh, that's right. Yeah. He stopped. I forgot he was the kid that stopped, like, fucking weeks
ago. It was just COVID and,
yeah,
like, everything was a mess anyway. So, at the end of the day, you have to look out for yourself. Because, like I was saying earlier, like, I lost a job. I was replaced 12 hours later. Mm-hmm. You know, and these kids will have to understand that the moment that you stop playing – they already have somebody that they're going to text or call and say that you left.
Yeah, he could have raised his draft stock a little bit, playing a few more, but they were kind of out of the postseason contention.
They're out of it, you know. So what do you have to make a choice for yourself, because at the end of the day, you know, they stopped the season because why did Duke stop the season?
COVID, allegedly. Wasn't Coach K.
I just think Coach K
to help his L's.
Those are some L's you got to take. You ain't taking those L's.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
He's kind of wild in terms of his, like, his numbers are so deceptive. Like, if you were to just look at a box score and try to guess how Jalen Johnson plays and what his game is, you would be so fucking wrong. Because 2.2 assists, like, I'd be willing to bet he's going to average more than 5 assists a game this rookie season. Like, he's another guy that's, like, willing and able passer, like, kind of like Scottie Barnes. Big ass dude who loves the ball handling, pass the ball. And then 44.4% from three. Doesn't tell you that's only on 18 shots, and it was 8 of 18. Like, the, you know, that's not really his game. He doesn't quite have the jumper, like I mentioned earlier. It's definitely not an off the bounce jumper. His catch and shoot is why he was 8 of 18, and he was super selective, you know, hanging out kind of thing. But that's a good sign at the same time, because if you go back and look, you know, I hate to compare him to Ben Simmons, but he is that kind of 6'9 ball handler type that, you know, prefers to pass over shoot. You know, he only got 11 points a game. And he's not the, you know, you can see the signs of Ben Simmons being not willing to shoot the ball from outside and, like, that being detrimental down the road potentially. But, like, he's not that type of, like, I'm literally not going to shoot it, because Ben didn't attempt threes in college either. I want to say he was, like, 2 of 11 for his season. But, I mean, 8 of 18, like, isn't terrible. You know, the games that I watched, he was taking the open ones. And it's not a completely broken jumper when it's a catch and shoot set shot for him. It's more of when he's on the move that it kind of goes completely haywire for some reason, mechanically and stuff. But that might also just be, like, not jumping up straight up and down consistently and with discipline, he tends to fade. But we'll see. I mean, one of the things that I hate that I wrote down, because I think I like him, I think he's an interesting player, but I was like, for some reason, I could really see like Josh Jackson with a little more passing, like in terms of his translation to what he does in the league, because like Josh Jackson has some really whack jumper like that, you know, and you know wasn't a crazy defender either, like because he's not like that, you know, top defender type like Scottie Barnes is. He's somewhere between Zaire Williams and, you know, a zero defender, and Scottie Barnes as a plus defender, right, as he comes into the league. He'll be versatile, but he's just not, he's not super fluid in terms of how he moves on a ether end, which is going to be interesting to see if he develops that, or if that's just kind of the way it is. Like, that's, you know, some dudes don't have that wiggle, which is what you're looking at half the time. You can't really teach that.
It's like a feel thing, but as well as like, you know, are you going to be able to go out there and actually have the confidence to actually do that? You know, I think that that's where it really comes down to. You know, Kyrie is a prime example of pure confidence. Even if, you know, the constraints are so tough, he has so much confidence in his handle, you know, and there are other guys that have that, you know, that they're just very confident in their handle. They keep it very basic. I think a Kyle Lowry is like that. His handle is so tight. He doesn't do a lot, but he's very confident in what he does do. And, you know, I think when you're like that as a player, you know, you have way more options. And without that, you know, that's what where guys run into trouble in the NBA. You can't really do anything extra. You have to really be able to be a catch-and-shoot guy or really put it on the ground and dunk the ball or go finish at the rim or get fouled. Like, you know, if you can't really handle the ball in tight areas, it's really tough for you in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. You see kind of guys get exposed as they make that leap. You know, Jaylen Brown being a Celtic, that kind of had to have that development. Once he got to the league, he got exposed. This guy couldn't really dribble more than a few times in a row, at least under the NBA pressures. But, you know, now you see him now. He's just doing four dribble combos and highlight tapes and just making people fall down and hitting pull-ups in the eye. So it's definitely possible to develop, at least. That's the good news. But another dude, I don't know if you saw the Turkish delight, Alperen Şengün, at all. Did you have a chance to check out the grainy footage?
I did not have a chance to check it out. No, tell me about
it. He's interesting. He's 6'9", 240. He was the MVP of the Turkish league. I don't know how much, salt we give that or not, but I mean, he's only 18, so that's, you know, upside. The last European League MVP, granted a much better league, that was 18, that got drafted was Luka, so that's a, you know, good correlation. Jumper's kind of meh. You know, it's an okay form, a little slow release, but he's a big dude. He kind of plays real big dude kind of ways. He reminds me a ton of Kelly Olynyk. Like, if I were to say, like, you could take a bunch of their tape and just splice it over each other and it'd be like the identical, it's Kelly, because he's got that kind of, he's a little quicker, like a little, maybe a little more athletic version of Kelly, because Kelly's one of Kelly's weaknesses, like we're saying, people getting, or, you know, great prospects kind of getting a wake-up call when they get in the league, is he couldn't do all that footwork shit when he got in the league because he was just too slow. his foot speed wasn't there, but this kid seems like he's got a little bit more foot speed. Dribble a little bit, and as much as he doesn't have a jumper, 82% free throw shooter and average 7 free throws a game, the most in his league. So that's like, there's something there. he's a guy that
I think that's a great look, you know, especially if it's going to be for the Hornets. I mean, you know, for them, I don't think it's smart for them because they're not great at taking, you know, chances on picks. I think they're better at, you know, surefire players that can really hoop. You know, finally somebody saw that in LaMelo, thank God. So now we got to see, you know, what they do with this draft. If, you know, if it's not a good fit.
Yeah, he could go anywhere too. Like, I mean, his projection has been as low as I've seen it is like – mid-30s, and the most recently is the highest I've seen is 11 to the Hornets, like you're saying. Like, I don't know about that fit. I don't know. I don't think he should go that high. I don't think he's, like, going to be that great. He's a little undersized for kind of his style of game translating the NBA. Cause one thing that I saw a lot on his tape was, you know, I don't think it would translate as much like his size. Like I'm saying, like, he's a big time, like back the basket, like grinder, like kind of dude at times, like he would use his strength kind of to dominate, you know, he's 240, even though he was 18, he was kind of strong on some of the dudes he was playing. And then his footwork would go to work once he got close. And like, I don't know if he's going to carve out that position. Like, you know, that modern offense.
NBA is a 240. That's a small forward. So
exactly. Yeah. No, 240 ain't shit in the NBA. So like I was looking at guys, like he reminds me of like a Luka. So to compare him to an NCAA dude, Luka Garza, like being heavily reliant on getting that inside position that, like, you know, you can carve out when you're 250 and 6'11, 6'10 in NCAA, but like, are you going to be able to do that in the NBA? Like, do you have the speed to get there? Like, Luka Garza's weakness might be not be able to get the spot. Shingun might be able to get to the spot, but he'll get knocked off.
It ain't about you getting anywhere offensively. Like, honestly, in the NBA, it's about, can you guard your position? If you can't guard your position, you can't play.
And yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. He could definitely guard, I think, you know, a stretch four, you know, like a Robert Williams-type center. No. Or, I mean, not even Robert Williams, like a traditional center in the league. No.
Robert Williams is a four in the NBA. Can he shoot the three?
No. I'm saying that he could, I could see this guy guarding more of the traditional stretch four that exists or stretch five that exists now, but a more like center guy, like a more like a Clint Capela would probably just be able to pick and roll this guy to death.
Clint Capellas are gone, bro. They're gone. Like, it's over. He's dead. Hey, you saw that this year. It's dead. He can't hoop. He can't play.
Yo, yeah, they made the conference finals on Clint Capela lobs.
Guess what happened? They didn't get to the conference finals.
DeAndre Ayton on the other side, too. Like, yeah, that's – I mean, there's something. There's something for those guys. But, I mean, either way, like, Şengün's not going to be able to guard those guys as well. He's not quick enough to keep with those dudes. And he's not strong enough to keep with, like, the Embiids and the Jokic's. If he's actually going to play center, which they got him listed as a center – he's listed at 6'10", but he's not 6'10". And that's not going to work out, I don't think, defensively, like you're saying. Like,
guard fours and you're too slow. Guard fives and you're too slow or too small. So, whatever.
Either way, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But he's one of those guys that could be, you know, that random name that pops up really early that people are like, who the hell? And the announcer says the name wrong. All that good stuff. He's your guy for that this year. But yeah, we'll see what happens tonight. But yeah, then second round here, anything else that kind of anybody else that jumps out at you that you're thinking might be a sleeper or might I know people are high on Sharif Cooper now.
I don't know why.
BJ Boston's in the late second, mid second round projection now.
You know, if the Bulls, and I just want to talk about the Bulls real fast, and I'm looking at what they project to do. And if you guys draft Matthew Hurt, it's over. I will never like you again. And the reason is because he doesn't fit what we're trying to do. We're not that. Is he Mike Miller? Is he Mike Miller, Mike? You know, is he?
Because he's that's Duke, Laurie Markkanen.
Well, hey, I'm just wondering, is he Mike Miller? Because, like, you know, I know him and Billy Donovan, you know, they're connected, la, la, la.
For sure not. He's not nearly as athletic as Mike Miller. I'll throw that out there. he's also 14.5% body fat or something like that. He was the second highest body fat percentage in the combine, which is a bad sign for a guy that weakness was.
I want to talk about a player, Mike, that is underrated and that is going to be a freaking stud. Is Jeremiah Robinson Earl from Villanova. Mm-hmm. He's picked right now. He's projected to the Pelicans. He's been rising every week. You know, I think he's a dude that may get into the first round because he can really flat out play. 6'9", can guard multiple positions. And honestly, like, he doesn't shoot the ball that great, but he's a player that is like, he played at Villanova, so he's only going to get better. That's my thought. So I think that's a humongous steal for the second round. I think if he stays in the second round, it's crazy. The fact that Matt Hurt is above him, the Bulls are out of their mind. You know, so that's my thought.
Yeah, we'll see how that pans out. Hopefully you guys get Jeremiah instead. He's got a kind of that classic 6'9" power forward or rebounder kind of prototype archetype, inside scorer, cleans the glass kind of guy, plays some good defense kind of dude. Not going to drop 25 a game, but he's going to do a lot of other shit that'll help dudes drop 25 a game, like Zach.
Man, rebounding, hit a corner three here and there, and go tip dunk it. That's what we need. Yeah, that's what we want. That's my thought. But yeah, other than that, like, I don't really have any guys that I'm like, oh, I love Austin Reeves and Jason Preston. You know, those guys are some, you know, guys coming from, you know, Oklahoma and then like a small school like Ohio University.
Oh yeah, I loved Preston.
I love the story.
The games that I watched, I was watching all kinds of Ohio games from once I realized he was out there. He was fun.
Absolutely.
He'll translate too. I mean, it's just a matter of, is he going to be able to play defense? He was mad skinny. He wasn't crazy athletic.
Yeah, but he's found a way to make it work, you know, and he came from a guy that had no offers to, you know, getting a college
grew late
to being a pro, you know. So
I want to say he was like 6'1" when he got to college or something ridiculous like that. Like he grew in college kind of thing. Yeah. Now he's a pro prospect. And I don't know if he was, you know, really even projected to go in the second round before that run that he had with Ohio. Like he was one of those guys.
No, wasn't projected to do anything. And that's the deal. Like the guy went from nothing to having an offer, you know, out of prep school, to being one of the best players on Ohio and making a run with them, and then now being an NBA prospect, like nobody knew about.
Yeah, he was fun to watch play. He's a good pick for the summer league guy. Like he might cook in summer league because he'll just have the reins of a summer league team and just play point.
Yep, and you see like his shooting percentages are pretty high. You know, he's almost at 40% from three. You know, so. Getting a little bit more open. And, yeah, it might be a little bit deeper, but, you know, the kid being open is going to help. And, almost 16 a game, 7 rebounds and 7 assists, man. I mean, this kid could be a real difference maker here in a couple of years. And, you know, he could be a real story, you know.
Yeah, that would be really cool to see. He's definitely got a frame, too. So he's 180 right now at 6'4", which is definitely not big enough to be playing some strong defense. He's got to put another 20 pounds on that frame for sure, but he's got a frame.
It helps the Bulls, baby. It helps the Bulls, man.
Yeah, they might take him. I can see Bones. Sorry?
No, I was saying, like, with, you know, Preston going there, you know, the Bulls may be like, all right, cool. Like, Lonzo Ball is definitely open now that, like, the Pelicans could be like, yeah, we're going to get rid of him. Not even try it. You know, they're not going to match.
Yeah, I see Jericho Sims down here too. He could be a dude that could just end up playing big time center role player minutes for years. Giant athletic dude out of Texas. He can do some stuff, but we'll see if his size translates as much too. He's kind of one of those dudes that was physically dominant in the NCAA, but might kind of find himself, like he's not quite even Jaren Allen kind of size, but he's a little stronger than he is for sure. But we'll see. I think in terms of summer league MVPs and summer league gunners, Bones Highland might be the dude.
Oh, I agree.
Nation Highland, because he's going to shoot it.
Yeah, he's going to be aggressive and he's going to look for his shot. You know, every time we've been to the summer league, the guys that have looked for their shot have seemed to find it, you know,
even if they don't end up being very good.
Nah.
Glenn Rice.
Exactly. Glenn Rice Jr. He was awesome.
That was crazy. Glenn Rice turned into Tracy McGrady for like 3 weeks.
That was great. On the watch. And he was a class, but. Yeah, he ended up never really, you know, kind of panning out, but this junior man could flat out score the ball. And at summer league, he averaged 30 a game. It was phenomenal. That was fun as hell to watch.
Yeah, and he did it in like almost like a playground fashion. Like he was just demanding the ball and ISOing and just like cooking one-on-one all day pull-ups. It was great. It was really funny, but also probably a little bit of his I don't want to say attitude because that has negative connotation, but his disposition is partially why I don't think he panned out. He had a little bit too much of the Kobe complex, like a little too much sprinkled in there, I think. He couldn't quite fit into a system when he wasn't the best guy. I think might have been the problem there with Glenn Rice, but that's why we haven't seen Glenn Rice Jr. But he's good, though. I mean, I'd give him a shot on the C's bench if he wants to just come Dion Waiters his way around for a bit.
I give him a shot. Let's go play some men's league and let's go win some money, Glenn. It's your money, you know. Just give us a little check, but you can go ahead and score all the points, man. I love Glenn Rice Jr. for that. But yeah, man, you know, this draft's gonna be interesting.
So we got the draft tonight. Summer league starts August 8th. Celtics' first summer league game is versus the Hawks on August 8th, so that'll be interesting. I don't think there's even a time listed for it yet, but so yeah, we got draft tonight. A week from now, summer league starts. So,
yeah, man,
more basketball.
It's always the ball year round, man. That's why we're here. So we're excited to kind of deliver more news, and also excited to see what happens with this draft class. You know, kind of with what our Celtics and, you know, Bulls/Magic do. So it's going to be exciting. So we appreciate everybody coming through and talking hoops and, you know, kind of listening to what we have to talk about. Mike, you got anything else for us tonight?
No. Just if you like the pod, tell a friend, you know, and follow along at BYRP365 on Twitter and Instagram. We're not positive who we're dropping Sunday, but we'll have someone telling a story on Sunday as always.
Always, man. So I appreciate everybody coming through, and we'll talk to you guys soon, man. See you Sunday.
Peace.